I'm Rod Howard, and the testimonies just continue to come in. We have another one today from Santa Maria.
I have on the line Naomi Smith from Santa Maria. Hi, Naomi.
Hi, Rod.
I understand that you were having some problems with your eyesight.
Yes, I was.
Describe those problems.
I had cataract surgery in 1999, and the sight was good. And then finally, it began to get dimmer and dimmer. So I spoke with my doctor. I said, something is going wrong, and I'd go for the checkup, and I couldn't read the eye chart. And he made a decision to send me to an eye specialist.
And what was his diagnosis?
He told me there was swelling in the back of the eyes, and that's what was blocking the sight. And, of course, to treat that required numbing in the back of the eyes and then a shot in the back of the eye.
Then what happened?
A very painful treatment.
It was very painful?
Yes. So then I came home, and for a couple of days was very, very sore. I didn't feel too much like trying to do anything. The eye seemed to have gotten just a little bit better, but it didn't allow me to read the newspaper or the Bible. And then I went out and purchased some reading glasses. The first was 325 when I started reading with reading glasses. So one day I was trying to read the newspaper, and I just could not read it, even with the reading glasses and a magnifying glass. I decided that I was going to call the newspaper office and cancel the paper. And Spirit spoke to me and said, don't cancel your papers. You might find something that you want. And the very next day, I think it was, that the paper came and I was reading, and I saw the information about the healing center.
Okay, this is the Santa Maria Healing Rooms?
Yes, Santa Maria Healing Room. And that I made my first visit there on the 10th of June. And then I continued to go to the healing center. Sometimes I would go twice a week. After I started at the healing center, then the eyes began to clear. I can read and write. I wrote the report, the praise report, without glasses.
What does your doctor say about all this?
He said, this is simply remarkable. Your eyes have improved tremendously. So then he got the records and looked at the very first day that I came to see him, and he was simply amazed.
Your eyes are almost back to normal is what it sounds like to
me. Yes, they are.
If you could say one thing to someone who has experienced loss of their sight, what would you say to them?
I would say God is able. Don't accept the fact that your sight is gone. Trust in the Lord.
Amazing testimonies. It's so fun to hear people tell what great things God has done for them. In fact, when we pray for folks in the rooms, one of my favorite things to do, Cal, is to hand them that sheet last and say, this is the most critical thing that you're going to do, is give this testimony of what God has done, because it says in the Word that it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that we overcome.
Yes. Well, the testimony is what drives the work. I mean, if the sick are healing or hearing that God is healing, then they want to come. But they're not going to come if there's not a testimony as to what the power God is doing.
In the same way as with salvation, you can doctrinally dispute things with folks, but it's pretty hard to argue with someone standing there saying, I'm saved, or someone standing there saying, Jesus healed me, I had HIV, and now I don't have any HIV virus at all.
Absolutely. It's really simple. You know, if someone says, you know, I had a blind eye and now I can see, how do you deny that? You just can't, you know. And that seeing is an expression of God's love for us. He's not going to leave us in a world where only the devil has power to inflict. He's going to leave us in a world where we have power over all the power of the enemy, but we have to appropriate it. And we appropriate that power by faith. The Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Therefore, faith is not the thing hoped for, but the substance of it. You know, the Bible says that the Word is the seed of divine life. It's the seed that will produce a harvest in us. But we must plant the seed to have the harvest. See, what farmer would expect to have a harvest when the seed is left in the barn?
Mm-hmm.
I think as Christians, we need to have a proper understanding that there is something in the Word that we must do something with in order to have the benefit of it. And I think that's why God talks about the seed. And faith is important for us as Christians because we're responsible for this word. Now, if we're praying for someone who is not saved and healing needs to be assigned to them, then it's our faith. But if we're praying for another Christian, we need to give them the word so that that word can be a seed in their heart to begin to produce what God wants it to produce. And that's an indication that it can become a process. You know, a miracle is instantaneous. Just the word healing means something that's going to take a little bit of time. It can be very quick, right up front, or it can be a process. Probably 50% of the people that are prayed for in the healing rooms are healed as they go. The healing is not instantaneous. And that's, quite often, that's because we have things that we need to deal with in our own life. You know, if you have, for instance, a person who is an alcoholic, they come for prayer because they have a liver that's gone bad. If they just want prayer for the liver to be healed, but they don't deal with the fact that they are drinking, then you're going to keep them kind of stuck in a revolving door. So we need to begin to break off everything and use faith to do it. So we need to have the word to begin to deal with the issues, the root causes to infirmity, to begin to set people free. You know, and if we talk about faith, I like to use this example because I think it makes it very clear. When I was a young man at home, I was off for the summer, and I ate a peach, and I was going to plant the peach seed. And so I wanted to eat the peach real quick and plant it while it was fresh. And my mom said, no, you have to put it on the drain board, let it dry out. You know, I never really understood that. You know, I thought, well, gee, it's going to die. You know, so I put it on the drain board, and later in the summer, I came by and I saw that seed, and I picked it up and looked at it, and it was the deadest, driest thing in the house. I thought, no, it's too late. My mom said, no, go ahead and plant it. So I went out, and, you know, we lived in the country, and I knew about seed time and harvest time. So I planted it, but I didn't go out the next day and slap myself on the forehead and say, it didn't work. I knew that I had to do something after I planted the seed. I had to water, pull the weeds. And as I did that, all of a sudden a sprout started coming up. You see, it's not God that determines whether or not we have the harvest. It's you and I with what we do with the seed. See, if I left it on the drain board, I wouldn't have had the harvest. I had to act on the seed. I had to plant it by faith and then begin to do what's required from the time I planted until the time it comes up and you begin to have the harvest. So faith operates in the unseen realm to claim those things that we possess that God has given us. And what's interesting is the increase is always in the seed. As long as that seed was on the drain board, the increase was always there. I could have left it another year there and then taken it. But when I plant it, I release the increase. So God says, in the seed of my word is an increase. That's the substance of things hoped for. When you act upon it, you release that creative power that's in the seed. If you don't act upon it, if you don't have the faith, you don't release it. But when you take it by faith and confess those things that are not as though they were, that's the watering of the word that's in us. In other words, your confession establishes the possession. Because your confession, in the believing that God is going to honor his word, drives you into that unseen realm to do what's required, even though you don't see it.
And most people who come to salvation have lived a habit pattern of being defeated by the enemy and being aware of the enemy's power, not really being all that aware of God's power. Someone comes along and says, God is more powerful.
Yeah.
So they make that confession of faith, and then as the Lord washes their mindset or changes their mind with the word, then they begin to walk in the power that's available to them, and I see the same thing with healing.
Yes. Well, and it works two ways. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and that moves God. Fear is the substance of things not desired, and that moves the enemy. So people are in the mess they're in because fear moves the devil. Faith moves God. Fear is the substance of what we don't want. So when the enemy brings doubt, unbelief, and fear into our life, and we move on it, it produces a wrong result. Faith moves in that unseen realm because it moves us out of the natural into the spiritual realm because we're a spirit being created by a spirit God. So God wants us to not go by what we see, but to go by what we hear that produces the faith to change what we see. So faith operates from the time we ask until we have that manifestation. And when the manifestation of healing takes place in us, then faith can stop because we can see the fact that we have a harvest. So we have to constantly remind ourselves that faith operates in that unseen realm to release what God has, because, you know, the same word that we have available created the world and everything in it. It just makes good sense that the world and everything in it is subject to that word. That, you know, God says that same resurrection power, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in us and brings the power to release that substance in the seed of his word to produce his will. See, what good is his will if we can't have the benefit of it? Faith comes by the hearing, not the seeing. So when you see it, faith isn't required because you know it's there. Faith is required when you can't see it, and it brings it into a reality. And that's what I love about it. And so when we minister to the sick, we want to impart the seed of the word so they can have something to rest their faith on. If you don't have the word, then how are you going to have the faith? See, you got to have the word. So we put that word into the sick to build their faith so they can begin to act on it, and then it will begin to produce the will of the Father in us. See, what good is salvation if we can't by faith have the benefit of it? What good is healing if by faith we can't have the benefit of it? We're supposed to get saved. Salvation is for all. We're supposed to get healed. Healing is for all. But we haven't appropriated it. Too often we've only taken half of the atonement. We've taken the salvation part by faith and confess that we are saved when we lead the sinner through the sinner's prayer. That's our confession. You are saved. But the problem we've had is we haven't taken that kind of faith and applied it to the sick. We pray for the sick and we hope they're healed because we try to see to establish faith for healing, but it doesn't come that way. We must take the same kind of faith we use to install salvation, apply it for healing, and begin to confess, I am healed by his stripes, and then begin to walk it out.
One of my favorite facts is the fact that Jesus never once turned anyone down that came to him for healing.
No, he didn't.
Well, we're out of time again for today. Thanks, Cal. We'll talk to you next time.
Well, thank you.
You've been listening to Jesus, the Healer, presented by Healing Rooms Ministries. Our goal is to see the healing anointing released across America and around the world. Jesus wants to heal you, and he wants to use you to heal others. His word says, these signs will follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You've been listening to Jesus, the Healer, presented by Healing Rooms Ministries.
For healing prayer, please visit the Healing Rooms of Greater Syracuse on Thursdays. We're located at 526 Old Liverpool Road in Liverpool, New York. Please call 315-395-9674 or visit our website at healingsyracuse.com. If there's anything too hard for God, will God meet your needs? Let's ask him.